Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to our Sunday gathering at Holy Angels Parish. We're broadcasting live from beautiful Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, Canada. Whether you're with us live or joining us on the archives, know that you are most welcome. Holy Angels Parish is part of the Community Catholic Church of Canada, an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Catholic Anglican tradition. The service today is led by Archbishop Deborah Vaughan. You can follow along with our service at www.communitycatholicchurch.com at the online worship page. And now, let's prepare our hearts to receive inspiration, grace, and affirmation as we come into the presence of our loving Creator.
Day by day, God leads us. The green lush lawns of grace. Day by day, Jesus calls us to pour out ourselves in service to anoint the stranger with hope. Day by day, the Holy Spirit shows us the community we could be, the family we are called to become. Our opening hymn today is How Great Thou Art, number 37.
Thank you.
Let us say together the prayer of approach. Gracious God, you invite your people to contemplate heavenly things and urge us towards faith in you. May your coming among us find our doors open, our tables set, and all your people ready to greet you. Amen. And together the prayer of confession. God, our Heavenly Father, full of grace and truth, you create us from nothing and give us life. You do not turn your face from us, nor cast us aside. We confess that we have sinned against you and our neighbor. We have wounded your love and marred your image in us. Restore us for the sake of your Son, and bring us to heavenly joy. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us say together the prayer for illumination. Grant, O Lord, that in the written word and through the spoken word, we may behold the living word, our Savior Jesus Christ.
Genesis 15, 1 to 6. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. A response to reading this in the bulletin is Psalm 33, 12 to 22. Psalm 33, 12 to 22, and it is in your bulletin. Let me see if I can start. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who choose for his inheritance. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth.
He will be baptized in the heart of them all, and observes all their deeds.
No king is saved by the size of his army, no warrior escapes by his great strength.
The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might it cannot be saved.
But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love.
To deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in heaven.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
Our hearts are glad in him because we trust in his holy name.
May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Our final reading is Luke 12, 32 to 40. It is Luke 12, 32 to 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. Where no thief comes near and no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks up, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. May God add his blessing.
Let us pray. For all people in their daily life and work, for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for all those who are alone, we pray for this community. And especially we pray at this time for all the hard feelings and all the tension and difficulties in the wake of the wind turbine challenge. We bring it before you today, God. You know our hearts. We ask that your way be made clear, that you would work on behalf of all who are fighting for the best course of action, and that there would be reconciliation among those whose feelings are hurt, those who are feeling unheard, those who are feeling afraid. We ask for a mighty work to take place in this situation. We call on your Holy Spirit to guide and direct, and to make a way, the right way, a happy way for all. And we pray for our country and for the world. We pray for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace, for the just and proper use of your creation, for the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression. We pray for all who are in any danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble, and for those who minister the sick, the friendless, and the needy, for the peace and unity of the Church of God, for all who proclaim the gospel, and for all who seek the truth, for our own needs and for those of others. We remember especially today all those in our lives who are ill at this time, those whom we love, who are feeling anxious or distressed. We pray for our own needs and concerns, offering them to you in the quiet of our heart. Hear us, Lord, for your mercy is great. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life, for the gift of this beautiful day, for all the blessings that we receive at God's hand at every turn. We will exalt you, O God, our King, and praise your name forever and ever. We pray for those who have died in the peace of Christ, and for those whose faith is known to God alone, that they may have a place in God's eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them who put their trust in you. Gracious God, you have heard the prayers of your faithful people. You know our needs before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Grant our requests as may be best for us. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. It has been a couple of challenging weeks for so many people I've spoken to lately. One of my friends has just lost her job, a job that she loved and had had for really going on decades. Another has a business that's in trouble. Another friend has just had to put down her beloved horse, and that was so hard. It was like her best friend. Still another is having real difficulties with a teenage son. And even my own life has been tested this past week with the illness of a family member, which has been cause of great concern and worry. And to add insult to injury, yesterday morning I let my little dog Murphy out, and didn't he get sprayed by a skunk? It never rains, but it pours. But, you know, Facebook is a wonderful thing because you can Google, but you can also go on Facebook and say, okay, what do I do for a skunky dog? And you get all these great responses. I have a lot of people that walk dogs and people that love dogs. So he's smelling a little bit sweeter today, but it was like the last thing I needed. At 10 o'clock in the morning, a little baby skunk he found sleeping beside my flower pot. Oh, my goodness. The skunk was not happy. And neither was I. Neither was the dog, but it was a new thing for him. There are times when we are called to trust. We know that life is a journey, and there are bumps that come up in the road. But sometimes in those stormy times, it feels as though the bridge has been washed out with us on top of it. We feel as though the very ground that we're standing on has shifted under our feet. There's nothing there to support us. There are times when we're called to trust. Trust that things aren't really the way that they're appearing. And that can be really hard. I'm sure that when, as we heard in Genesis today, when God called Abraham to look at the stars in the sky, after he's complaining, really, that, you know, a descendant is going to be somebody that he doesn't really like all that much. It's not his own son. It's not his own flesh and blood. He and Sarah are getting on in years, and they're losing heart that there would ever be any children in their lives. But God says, look, I promise you this. Look at the stars in the sky. Your descendants will be just as numerous. Now that must have been very difficult for him to look in the palette of the dark sky and see all those twinkling lights and think, I'm going to have that many descendants and I don't have one right now. But God kept the promise. And they saw a child, Isaac, which means to laugh, because they were so amazed and joyful that they laughed at the announcement of Sarah's birth. It happened. I'm sure that when people who loved Jesus saw him arrested and beaten and crucified, they must have felt that all was indeed lost, that the beloved ministry that they'd given their lives to was nothing more than a sham. Yet, a few days later, on that first Easter Sunday, they were shown the magnificence and the fulfillment of all God's promises as they spoke with the resurrected Christ, saw him, talked to him, sat with him, continued the teachings with him. And I'm sure that as you look over the trials of your own lives, when something that seems almost too big to even comprehend has met you on your path, you can remember that feeling of fear and concern that first gripped you. And in hindsight, when we look at those events in the past, we can see that good did come from those situations, that with the challenges came great insights and understandings as well. When those doors seemed to shut and the walls themselves threatened to close in, a way became clear and a window opened for you. The psalm today reminds us that as we journey, we are never alone, that God is steadfast in love and will refuse us nothing. If we are hungry, we'll be fed. If we're afraid, God is our shield. God is our protector. Even if we are looking at the end of our life, at death, God assures us that we are there with God forever. God will not let us fall or fail. That's a promise. Actually, on my way here today, I was listening to this wonderful fellow on CBC Radio. He's a glaciologist, and he goes up to the highest mountains, and they dig a core of the ice, which is like, as he says, an archive of our atmosphere over the past millennia, eons. Now this man, he's now 65, he had emphysema, he had severe shortness of breath, and he would go up where there's no air practically for weeks and weeks at a time. And because he was predisposed to congenitive heart failure, like COPD, he recently got to the point where he had to have a heart transplant. And he talked about these trips and the glory of creation, looking at the top of the Himalayas around the vastness of the world. Very poetic man. And he talked about an experience he had when he was on the operating table receiving a new heart last year. He had a near-death experience. And he said that he was taken to a place. It's like he jumped time. He couldn't really explain it. But he said suddenly he knew he was in heaven. And he had this experience of being in this beautiful, tranquil place. There was no pain. There was beautiful flowers and a little running stream. And he said it was like he knew everything, all the answers to his questions, everything he knew in a blink, and he understood. And suddenly he was back in the ICU or on the operating table. And then again, he doesn't know how much longer it was, but he had another flash where he was in that other place again. He knew it was a spirit plane, and he called it heaven. This time, he met a figure with a white robe. And he said that the figure spoke to him and said, "You're not done here yet. You're not ready to come here yet. You need to go back to Earth and finish your purpose." So 3 weeks later, after his heart transplant, he's on a plane back to the Indies to continue his work with a new heart. And he said that he's not afraid to die, and he knows that he's going somewhere. It was very compelling to listen to him speak because he's a scientist. He deals with data and hard evidence. He was speaking about that quite a bit. But now he's got this spiritual layer to share with people. I've been there. So many, and he said he's not afraid. Nothing. He's not afraid now of anything. So many times in the Bible we hear those words, "Be not afraid, fear not." Now, the people of the Bible are ordinary people just like you and I. They're living their lives. They're trying to do the best that they can, just as we are. And they try to negotiate all the twists and the curves in the road. We don't have to worry about, you know, titans coming over the mountains to smunch us, or we don't have to worry about being enslaved to the Roman Empire, anything like that. But there are things that are perilous for us on this earth too, in our own way. So they had worries and they had concerns just like we do. And we do get afraid at times, no matter how strong we are. It's part of us. We can't help but fear. But as people who have faith, who follow Jesus, we have assurance that there is a constant help in times of need or fear, the shield of God. We have a God who loves us, who knows us, who sees us through this life and greets us, welcomes us into heaven, the white robe figure, when our time on earth is over. And the scientist said, he really has no fear of dying. He has no fear at all. That is done. He doesn't know why he feared it to begin with, but he welcomes it when the time happens. We have this amazing God who sent Jesus to us to tell us and teach us that we're beloved, that we're forgiven, as we talked about last week, that nothing can separate us from that love. And this God of ours brought Jesus back from the grave, from death itself, to teach us that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear anything, even death, because there is a place for us. Our Father's house has many rooms, and there's a room for us in his house. Now, after a week like I've had, there were a couple of times when I was really struggling, when I was questioning if God had gone to Miami. You know, are you there? Hello? A little help here. In the midst of my life and my friends' lives. It's so much, it just seemed that everybody was having a tough week. And as I prayed, I was reminded of the times that good things had come out of the bad, and when my trust in God had been strengthened. And as I reflected, I realized that many of us have faith, but in times of challenge, it's trust. It's trust that helps us to recognize God's grace breaking into our lives. It's trust that calls us to a deeper place of faith. Sometimes we don't know the answer. Sometimes we don't know what's around the corner. But with our steadfast, loving God solidly with us, our trust will never be wasted. Our trust is not in vain. In today's gospel, I love that whole chapter of Luke. I read it often. Jesus addresses the fear and the worry of the people around him. And he says, "Do not be afraid, little flock." How tender is that? You know, it's like the images of God picking up the chicks in the Psalms, that caressing, that tender voice of compassion. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys." And with these reassuring words, he's telling us that when we let go, when we trust that God is in charge, we need not fear any outcome. As we allow God to work in our life and assist us to be our shield, to be our protector, to be our director, we will understand that love more and more and grow in trust as things start to happen, as we see the mighty hand of God at work on our behalf. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, the place of spirit, the place where we connect with God at a very rich level. Our soul is at home in this realm of spirit. When we fully commune with God in that sacred space, there is joy and happiness and peace and healing and love like we've never known on earth. Now, I'm not talking about the kingdom in terms of the place we go next after this life. I'm talking about the place where we meet God when we pray, when we meditate on the words of Jesus, when we give over our concerns and our fears, and we allow ourselves to rest in the arms of divine love, to be gathered up like that little chick and just be comforted and soothed. Jesus tells us elsewhere that the kingdom of God is at hand, and he means it's here, it's now, it's with us. Not some abstract place to come, but it's here for those of us who seek it through our faith. And what happens when we connect to that holy and spiritual place? We begin to see with the eyes of Jesus, and we're guided by the Holy Spirit. And we view the world with the eyes of faith, and things don't have as much attraction. We are moved with compassion as we look to our brothers and sisters across the planet. And when we meet God in that divine place, we find our faith deepening and our trust expanding. This is a treasured relationship, a place where we discover how much we're loved, how much we matter, how important we are to this God of love. And we come to understand our purpose on this planet, our reason for being here, much more clearly. In Matthew, Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all things will be given to us." So once we focus there and hit that place of communion with God, it's like we rest there. We don't have to worry about the other things. They're going to come to us. They're given to us because we have that connection. As we connect in spirit, the material comes to be. So when we spend the day connecting with God, I think I might have shared with you about my friend Doris from another parish. She would walk up the street with God hand in hand. She'd have Jesus. She's holding Jesus' hand all the time. So she'd have a little handbag. She was British. She'd been through the war. And she loved Jesus, and she would walk up the street with Jesus holding his hand. She spent the whole day in that place of love. An amazing woman. I just loved her. She was always, always so wonderful and prayerful. As we Spend that time connecting with God, mindful of Jesus' commandments to love each other, to be kind to each other, to care for the planet, and to take care of ourselves too. Then it's hard to be fearful. It's hard to worry about the bumps in the road, but it's easy to see the blessings. It's easy to see the joy and the beauty and appreciate the love of God that flows all around us. So today, as tough as life may seem, take the words of Jesus to heart. He says, "Fear not. Know that God is with you and doing a great work in you. Know that through faith and trust, you are part of a spiritual realm in which all things are possible. Answers come, peace comes, and you'll know in your heart of hearts that all things are truly well with your soul. All you need do is give thanks to the one who called you into being, who gave us Jesus to show us the way and the Holy Spirit to lead us through the smooth and the rough places of our path. All is well. Fear not. Thanks be to our loving God, whose amazing grace blesses us all. Amen." Go in peace, love and care for one another in the name of Christ, and may the light of God guide you in your daily walk now and forever. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Bless you all.